Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Enthusiastic earlier, speaking about the subject of Gajalpa, and we didn't get to finish it, so I wanted to go over this verse again. Very nice verse by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's the fourth verse in his Manasiksha, and he describes what is Gajalpa for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Very beautiful verse.
Sadvarta Vesha Vishrijamati Sarvasva Harani Kutha Mukti Vyagrana Srinukila Sarvatma Gilani Apichaktva Lakshmipati Ratin Tovyomanayanim Brajiradha Krishna Swarati Manadau Twambhajamanaha.
Listen. We described the first couple of lines of this, which we'll summarize briefly again. He advises that a sadvarta vesha give up this mundane talks, and he compares them to a prostitute. And we told some given livid examples of how prostitutes both steal away our wealth and degrade us and give us some terrible disease by which we'll die. So Gramyakata, Prajalpa, is like that. It plunders our treasure of real wisdom. And he says, Kata Mukti Vyagra, give up. Nashrinu, don't hear anything about Mukti. We're not interested in that. We describe Mukti Tucha follow hai nama basa hoiti. Devotees aren't interested in Mukti. Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Hoiti Kitwai. This is a very big subject, actually. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, maybe when he saw devotees who were being a little lazy and maybe had some doubts, Prabhupada, how can we go back to Godhead in this lifetime? We can speak about this later. This is actually Niyama Agraha. They had some doubts, and then because of that, they don't follow the rules and regulations properly because of those doubts. So Srila Prabhupada told them, why not one life? Our Guru Maharaj also used to repeat that, and why not? Maharaj Kadvanga, he achieved liberation in one life. But if you study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a number of statements Rupa Goswami says. In one place he says, excuse me, Jiva Goswami notes in one commentary that says sometimes Krishna makes someone take birth again and again. Because it's not so hard to get liberated, actually. There's crows who've gotten liberation just falling into tanks in the right place in Jagannath Puri. If you get liberation in an early stage, it's kind of like picking a flower, a rose, which is not developed yet. You can pick that rose, but then it's finished. It's not going to develop any further. And if you get it at the wrong stage, it may not even have any fragrance to it. So like that, if we get liberation early, we may go to Vaikuntha, Gopi, get liberation with Radha Krishna, with Lakshmi Narayan. But your rasa, the rasa that mellow, won't fully develop. So sometimes Krishna keeps the devotees here in this world, and for that purpose, Jiva Goswami says that thing. And Rupa Goswami describes different types of devotees, some devotees who desire liberation, and he says the highest devotees, they don't even care about that. And in many, many different statements, similar to this in the Bhagavatam, the devotees of Tuliyama Livenapi, Nasvargam, Napunarbhavam. Punarbhavam means get liberation. The Prachetas are praying, we don't care about this. We don't want this thing. All we want is something real. We want the most valuable thing. What's that? We want association with your devotees. That's more valuable than liberation. That's our Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding. But sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say, why not one lifetime? Because we should have that attitude. Why not one lifetime? Why not now? Why should we wait? But at the same time, it's not that we absorb ourselves in meditation on mukti, if I get liberation. It's not. We should absorb ourselves in service. That's the highest thing. So, He says you should give up hearing all talk of liberation, which is just like a tigress, which will devour your soul. Furthermore, he says, api tyaktva lakshmipati ratim iti vyomanayanim. He says, please, don't even think about Lakshmi Narayan. That's also nonsense. That's also prajalpa. According to Raghunath Das Goswami, that's also prajalpa. Speaking about Lakshmi Narayan. He says, rather, Braje Radha Krishna Swarati Manido Twam Bhajamanaha. Rather, you should just focus your mind and hear topics of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and live in Braj. Think about Radha Krishna, who bestow on their devotees a precious jewel of their rati. This and anything other than these things is prajalpa, according to Raghunath Das Goswami. So that's not an easy platform to come to. All of these things are required to have very high sadhusanga. It's not a theoretical thing. We can theoretically hear about so many things. Once our revered spiritual master was giving a lecture in Africa. And he was telling the devotees there, he was quoting a verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhanna, bhakti Krishna nama smarana dhanna. Three times is bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhanna. This is the real wealth. This is a subject to talk about. This is a thing to be interested in. But what is that bhakti? How do we get it? Bhakti a Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna nama, but is an adjective, something he adds to it. Smarana krandana. When we chant Krishna nama, we should cry. We should cry for Krishna. And if we do that simple little thing, then Krishna becomes purchased very easily. So one of the devotees there, he asks a good question. He says, well, Maharaj, that sounds very nice, but how do we cry for Krishna? And he replied, he said, you're already crying for your wife. Or you're a brahmachari, so you're crying, I want a wife. Or a brahmacharini, she's crying, I want a husband. Or we're crying for our children, we're crying for a job, we're crying for so many things in this world. He said, but you're not crying for Krishna because you haven't had association. He said, just like if you go to a funeral, I used to do sangskars for the temple in Alachua, Florida years ago. And sometimes some Hindu family would call us up and they'd say, oh, our father died, our grandfather died, please come do some ceremony. So we'd go and sprinkle some water and twist our fingers and chant some mantras and things. And sometimes they'd all be crying. And we didn't know the person. So Maharaji was saying like that, sometimes you go to a funeral and you don't know who the person was who died. But you see, everyone there is crying. So you also cry. Because it's very sad. It's like if someone sees a sad movie, by that association, you also cry, even though it has nothing to do with you. So these things require association. We don't know what is prajalpa. We need to hear from someone who's a realized person, who really has something in their heart. And if we hear an association like that, then something will awaken in us and we'll understand, oh, these other things are very nasty topics. And we'll naturally lose interest in them. So Rupa Goswami, he's warning us, don't hear this prajalpa. If you hear this prajalpa, it'll steal away your sadhana bhakti. Don't do it. How will this steal away our sadhana bhakti? In so many ways. One of the ways that it'll distract our mind. We hear so many worldly topics. Even we're going to the temple. Hey, did you hear? And they found that the vice president of the temple was some Mataji, behind the building. And oh my gosh. And then you go up to your friend, hey, did you hear what I just heard? So we start talking. And you do that just before japa period. So what are you thinking about when you're chanting japa? What's really important? Who cares about that thing? All these things are so insignificant. Our mind is always cheating us. It's always cheating us. We've been cheated by so many things before. And we're always promising ourselves, we have a post-dated check that we're signing every day. My dear mind, I'll do bhajan later on. Right now it's very difficult to do bhajan because they just told me something which is just, I've just never heard anything like that. My God. Or I just read in the news, did you know that someone blew up the Prime Minister in Pakistan? My God, that's such news. How can I not think about that thing? Later on, I'll think about Krishna Nam. Isn't it? We're always doing like that. Just now, I'll think about this thing. Maybe I can't stop thinking about it. But later on, I'll do this other thing. So we have to give our mind some strong sasana. And we have to train our mind. We have to stop this prajalpa. We have to hear this Harikatha, and especially we have to hear it in association with pure devotees, very elevated Vaishnavas. So Thakur Bhaktivinod, Rupa Goswami, he describes that Atyahar Prayasascha Prajalpa Niyamagraha. This Niyamagraha is the fourth thing which will steal away our sadhana bhakti. And this Niyamagraha, Srila Prabhupada describes, is two types, Niyama Agraha and Niyama Agraha. Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Instruction, his commentary on page 22, says that accepting some of the scriptural rules and regulations for immediate benefit, as utilitarians advocate, is called Niyama Agraha. And neglecting the rules and regulations of the Shastras, which are meant for spiritual development, is called Niyama Agraha. The word Agraha, the long in the beginning, means eagerness to accept. And Agraha means failure to accept. By the addition of either these two words to the word Niyama, rules and regulations, the word Niyama Agraha is formed. This Niyamagraha has a twofold meaning that is understood in according to the particular combination of words. So this was the subject matter of this song that we just sang from Thakur Bhaktivinoda, from Saranagati. He says that, my dear Lord, he's paraphrasing this verse in Upadeshamrita. Artira sanchai vishaya prayasi. I become absorbed in accumulating wealth and endeavoring for material possessions. Anukata prajalpane. I'm always doing prajalpa, speaking about things that are separate from you. And he says an interesting thing. Anu arikar niyama agrahe. He says that I mistakenly accept duties apart from my own qualifications. And I'm always eager to adhere to the letter of the law. This is how the translator has given this. But actually, this Anu Arikar is how Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes Niyamagraha. He says in his commentary, Niyamagraha Uchadikara Prapti Samoy Nimnadikaragata Niyame Agraha Evam Bhakti Poshaka Niyamera Agrahana E Dwi Prakar. He said that this Niyamagraha means two different things. One is that when a sadhak has achieved a higher qualification, but he remains attached to the rules for a lower stage, this is called Niyamagraha. That's what he says here in the song. Anu Adhikar. I mistakenly accept duties that are different from my own qualifications. This is a very deep thing, very profound thing. And the second is failure to follow rules that nourish devotion. That's Niyama Agraha. So, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on this verse, he cites Krishna's words to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a verse which Bhaktivinoda quotes in many of his writings. Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta Saguna Parikirtita Viprayas Tu Doshasya Ubayorisha Nishaya. Krishna tells Uddhava that what is really virtuous, he said, being situated properly in a position that you have qualification for, that's virtue. And the opposite, accepting a position for which you're unqualified for, is irresponsible and is considered impious. This is a definite conclusion. Ubayor esha nishchaya. This is a very important point in bhakti. Elsewhere, in one of his articles, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, when he quotes this verse, he says the purport of this verse is that as long as someone doesn't have ruchi for Harikatha, and ruchi for Harikatha means there's no attraction from maya. It means we're past anartha nivritti. He said, as long as someone hasn't achieved ruchi for Harikatha, then they have to act according to their position within varna and ashram. And that person is not condemned by that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Patit Pavan. Those persons within the vanashram system, they're not fallen. They're taking shelter of the right thing. If Vaishnavas follow the vanashram system, we should understand this also according to Vyamadraha. They don't do it to become absorbed in the rules and regulations. If someone does, that's niyama agraha. That's acting according to a lower standard. Just like sometimes we become very bewildered when we see devotees, they place so much stress on this Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. This is the most important Ekadasi of the year. We have to do this. Why do we have to do this? Well, because Prabhu, if you've ever broken a Ekadasi before, you do it on this day and it frees you from all sin. Wait a minute. I thought that we chant the holy name and that frees us from all sin. So we should understand what this Niyama Agraha means. It has a very deep meaning to it. As we spoke in the first few classes, for a Vaishnava who's taking shelter of Krishna Nam, there's no necessity for prayaschitta. There's no necessity for any mundane dharma. Dharma bratta tyaga hutari sarva subhakriya samyamapi pramada. It's an aparad to the holy name. When you go to the university and you're studying and you can understand the university level courses, you're not going to waste your time going back to kindergarten. And to do so, to ask questions, kindergarten questions to your university teacher is an offense. It's a waste of time. Don't do that. We should act according to the position where we're at. And we may feel ourselves, tanatabhi sanichina tareva sahisni, we may feel ourselves very, very fallen and lowly. That's okay. But Krishna says, bhakta ama, he says that anyone who has taken initiation, Diksha Kali, Atma Samapa. Someone who surrendered to me and taken initiation, they're none different than me. That's Krishna's words. If someone comes up and gives you respect because you're dressed like a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, you can refuse that. You can say, oh, I'm very fallen. I shouldn't accept that. That's okay. But you might also accept it. Very good. You should give more. Because this is the dress Srila Prabhupada told me to wear. And I'm representing Srila Prabhupada. This is credit goes to him. I'm just like some costume character wearing some costume in a party. It has no meaning for me. But this praise really goes to Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very good thing. We shouldn't necessarily avoid that. So, a devotee may feel himself very, very humble, but at the same time, he's taken shelter of Krishna Nam. And Krishna Nam is the topmost thing. If we've taken shelter of Krishna Nam, Gopal Bhatta Goswami says it's an aparad to do, to worship the devatas, to perform, one shouldn't perform nyasa. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says a similar thing in his Raghavartman Chandrika. We shouldn't perform nyasa. These things are not necessary. Nyasa is where we purify the body. Your body's already purified. You're chanting Krishna Nam. So you have a different kind of adhikar. Those rules and regulations which sometimes our acharyas quote, and which may be applicable even for us if we're not on the proper platform, for Manasanghita and others, they don't necessarily apply for Vaishnavas. And therefore, in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he's described three different types of sadhaks. So anishita, parinishita, and nirapeksha. So anishita means someone whose nisha is swa, they're there in themselves. They think, I have to act according to vanashram dharma. Svaya svaya adhikaras tesham. Svaya svaya adhikariyan anishita. He has that nishta. So he has to act according to vanashram. And that's okay. Don't disturb his mind. Krishna says like that. Also offer respect to him if he's chanting Krishna Nam. He's a Vaishnav. You can't understand. He may even be a very exalted Vaishnava acting on a lower platform. So he's Swanishtita. Better than him is Paranishtita. The Vaishnava who may accept Vanashram Dharma, but they understand this is not the highest thing. And this should be our understanding. This should be our platform. We may act according to Vanashram. We may want to be a brahmachari. We may want to be a grihastha because we feel the best in that situation. It's very nice to be a brahmachari. You can study, you can have a peaceful mind, you can dedicate yourself to the service of guru, you can do so many things, you can make advancement very easily. We may want to do that thing. So then there's rules and regulations that we should act according to. But we understand that this thing is not the topmost thing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Naham vipro na charana na paiti naipi vaisho na sudro Naham varni na chagrihapata no vanasko yatirva kintu probhyan Nikila paramananda pranamna tabdir Gopi bharata rupada kamaliva dasa 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 ha. He says, Naham vipro, I'm not a Brahmin. Sometimes we used to tell the temple president that when he would come to us to do our teak for the deities. Mahaprabhu says, Naham vipro. Mahaprabhu says, I'm not a Brahmin, that we're just cheating. But Mahaprabhu, he's meaning, I don't have this mentality. I'm not a Brahmin. Naham vipro, na charana paiti naipi vaishyana sudra. I'm not a Kshatriya vaishya sudra. Naham varni. What's Naham varni mean?
Brahmachari.
It's a brahmachari, because a brahmachari doesn't have any varna. He's not doing any engagement, he's not doing any work. I'm not a yati, a sannyasi, I'm not a grihastha, I'm not a vanaprasthi going and living in the forest. Kintu, I only have one understanding. Kintu prajan nikila paramananda pranamda gopi bharatahu padakamala dasa dasa dasa. I want to think like this. So the rules and regulations are a little different. And if we embrace those lower rules and regulations, all I see is Sri Vaishnavas. They do so many far-out pujas, and they know some different mantras, and they do different rules, and they eat, you know, take prasad. And sometimes we see in Puri, the pandas also, before they take prasad, they sprinkle water around the prasad, and they offer oblations of the different airs in the body. And we recite different prayers. It's a traditional smarta way of doing something. And sometimes devotees are also attracted by that. Well, that's really far out. And it says to do that in the Shastra. It says that Pandava Nirjala Kadasi, we should do that thing. But please tell me, where any of our Goswamis speak about Pandava Nirjala Kadasi in any of their books? Please tell me where any of them quote this Ekadasi Mahatmya things from Brahma Vivarta Purana or Padma Purana in their books. You can't find anywhere where they quote these things. But Prabhu, these things are obviously meant for Vaishnavas because it's Krishna speaking. And he's speaking to Yudhisthira. It's a very good thing. But what is the fruit of these things? If you do this Ekadasi, then the rain will come and you'll get some crops. If you do this Ekadasi, you'll become free from sin. If you do this Ekadasi, you'll become Indra. If you do this Ekadasi, you'll become free from some offense. So why are you taking shelter of that thing? You have a much, much better thing. Take shelter of Nam. We take shelter of Nam, there's no question of any pop. The only question is there is aparad. Prabhupada describes in the first purport, Rupa Deshamrita. If we chant Krishna Nam and we think, oh, I can do some nonsense things and I'll be taken care of, that's Nam Boli Pap Buddhi. So that thing's very, very bad. But it's a different type of rule for devotees. So if we get so much absorbed in this thing, if we get an anxiety, oh, I'm not following this rule and this regulation, I should be doing this thing according to Vanashram Dharma, according to Smriti Shastra. When you chant Gayatri Mantra, you should do Ashana Shuddhi and Bhuta Shuddhi and Nyasa, and you should call the mantra. You should do this thing and that thing. And if I don't do it, it's not right. You don't need to do any of those things. You're chanting Krishna Nam. There's a different set of rules which apply to you. So if we do those things, if we become absorbed in those things, that, according to Thakur Bhaktivinoda, is niyama agraha. Too much attachment to the rules and regulations, and will disturb our bhakti, will destroy our sadhana bhakti. So the other one, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a very nice song about in Kalyana Kalpaturu, we didn't have time to go so much into all this, is niyama agraha. Niyama agraha, where someone neglects the rules and regulations. And Bhaktivinoda gives a very interesting song about this. We were reading this the other day. He says that sometimes when someone meets some bad person means someone dressed up like a devotee, and we see that he's bogus, then we become discouraged and we think, all these people, they're bogus. They're all nonsense. And they're just a bunch of cheaters. What is the point in going and wearing tilak and wearing dhoti and kurta and having this kunti mala and just going around just for the purpose of trying to collect some money and some prestige and some women? They think like that. They become angry because they see some people behave like that. So they think, I'm not going to do like that. All these people, everyone who's wearing tilak and kunti mala and dhoti and sari and all these things, this is bogus. I'm going to be a real person. And I'll do this other thing. And they stop following the rules and regulations. They think that wearing tilak, chanting japa, a set number of rounds a day, getting up early, taking baths, going to Mangal Arati, taking only Krishna prasad, they think these things are just some rituals, too much rules and regulations. They neglect those things. And therefore, their bhakti sadhana becomes destroyed. So this thing, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, happens, as we've been describing, according to our association. If we're associating with people like that, worldly-minded persons, who are in the guise of devotees, then this thing will come to us, this niyama agraha. We'll start having some disdain, thinking that, what's the point? Nobody's really following any of these things. Which brings us to the next point in Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, which is Janasangha, bad association. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this Janasangha, his purport. He says that Janasangha refers to associating with persons not interested in Krishna consciousness. Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives a very simple definition in his commentary. He says, Janasangha, Sudha Bhakta Jana Sangha Vyatita Anajana Sangha. Jana Sangha means associating with people who are not pure devotees. Right? That's a very simple explanation he gives. So Prabhupada says Jana Sangha refers to associating with persons not interested in Krishna consciousness. One should strictly avoid such association. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has therefore advised us to live only in the association of Krishna conscious devotees, Bhakti Sannivas. One should always engage in the service of the Lord in the association of the Lord's devotees. Association with those engaged in a similar line of business is very conducive to advancement in that business. Consequently, materialistic persons form various associations and clubs to enhance their endeavors. For example, in the business world, we find such institutions as the Stock Exchange and Chamber of Commerce. Similarly, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give people an opportunity to associate with those who have not forgotten Krishna. This spiritual association offered by our ISKCON movement is increasing day by day. Many people from different parts of the world are joining the society to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. So, this Sangha is the most important principle in our spiritual life. And therefore, Jagadananda Pandit, he describes in Premavivarta, Sadhu Sangha Krishna Name Mata Chai Samsara Janitaya Kono Vasunai. These are the only two things that I need, Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Name. Why does he mention these two things? Because they're in cause and effect. Many times devotees, sometimes they write those letters and say, Prabhuji, I want to find a bona fide sadhu, a bona fide guru. Can you please tell me who's a bona fide guru? And sometimes we see devotees, they make a list. they write to the GBC or someone, who are the gurus? Okay, this one, this one, this one, this one. And they sit down and they look at the list. That's not how you get sadhu sangha. That's not how you find guru. This is making a list. Nor can you go and write to the editor of Krishna Katamrita magazine and he'll tell you, very easy thing. He'll tell you, just put in 5 rupee coin and spin the dial and a little ticket will come out with the name of your guru on it. It doesn't work like that. We have to chant Krishna Nam. We have to take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna, he'll reveal to us. If we're sincere and I'm non-bhajan, Krishna will send us guru. And then what happens when we get association with guru? Guru gives us Krishna Nam. Means deeper Krishna Nam. And what happens when we get that Krishna Nam? When we go deeper in Krishna Nam, we get deeper Sadhu Sangha. And then when we get deeper Sadhu Sangha, what happens? We get deeper Krishna Nam. And then we get more Sadhu Sangha and more Krishna Nam. And so these two are like a cycle working together. Sometimes people, they say, well, there's no bona fide sadhus. They're all bogus. We say, no. Our Guru Maharaj used to say that there's proof. There's a verse in Padma Purana. Sangsara Vaishnavadino Deva Vaishnava Palitaha Aham Cha Vaishnavadinas Tasmat Shrestas Cha Vaishnavaha. This is proof that there's sadhu sangha. Sometimes people, they say, oh, there's no sadhus in ISKCON. One time one person told me like that. A very adamant person. He was saying, they're all bogus. None of them chant 16 rounds. None of the swamis chant 16 rounds. I know. He said, I used to be a swami and I never chanted 16 rounds. Really, he told me like that. And it was very, very painful. But he's a very senior Vaishnava. We should be respectful. But he's going on and on like that. And finally, I'm such a rascal, I couldn't contain myself anymore. I said, I'm very sorry. I said, but I know at least one sadhu in this society. He said, yeah, who? I said, you. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you can say that there's no sadhus, then you must be on such an elevated platform that you can see. Therefore, you must be a sadhu. And he became a little dumb. So it really makes no sense. If someone comes and tells you that there's no sadhus in ISKCON, or there's no sadhus here or there, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a silly, childish kind of statement. It only means one thing. Really what they're trying to say is, I'm a sadhu, and you should listen to me. That's what they're really saying. Because only a foolish person, either a sadhu, a sadhu can tell there's no sadhu, or a foolish person. Either they're a foolish person or they're a genuine sadhu. Or at least they're wanting you, maybe they're wanting you to treat them as a sadhu. So Krishna tells Arjuna in Padma Purana, Sangsara Vaishnavadi. There's proof there's sadhus here. Because this whole samsara, this whole material universe is dependent on the presence of the Vaishnavas. If there's no sadhu here, the universe can't exist. Samsara Vaishnavadhyam. Not only that, Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. The devatas, they're dependent on the Vaishnavas. There's proof that there's sadhu sangha available. Because the proof is, we're breathing air right now. Proof is the sun is shining. Proof is water. These are all activities of the different demigods. And they couldn't do these activities if there was no pure Vaishnavas present. Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. Krishna says, what to speak of them? Aham cha Vaishnavadinas. I myself can't exist. I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, I can't exist. It is no Vaishnava. Therefore, tasmat shreshtas cha Vaishnavaha. Vaishnavas are the topmost persons. So, sadhu sangha is the most important thing. And we'll speak more about this when we come back. We can have a little break now for 5 minutes.